Joe Smith time live on a Monday morning. Say hello to Margaret Fetty, Smitty.
Oh, I always enjoy saying hello on a Monday to Margaret Fetty.
Good morning, Joe. I hope
you
had a nice weekend.
Oh, it was a celebrated filled weekend.
Nice. I got to hear you on the radio.
Nice football win.
It was a good win. It was a good win on Friday night for South as well.
Yeah,
that was
a
tooth and nail game. I listened to that on my back deck enjoying the the evening after I was at North for the first half of that football game as Maria was in the cheerleader block there with a little cheerleading clinic. So I get to see Franklin Central's couple big plays there. But North put up a good fight, Joe. They just couldn't get over the hump on Friday night. The fog is rolling out. That's a good sign on a Monday.
Yeah,
as quickly as it was here.
It's starting to burn up. It's starting to burn off.
Starting to get out of here and get going. But last night, Joe, usually on Sunday, that's safe for Sunday night football since Pittsburgh beat Kansas City so bad. I gave up at 29-0 at halftime. It gave everybody a chance to focus on the IHSAA high school sectional football draw. And wouldn't you know it, the battle for the city will resume a little bit later this month.
Well, it's the same scenario as last year for North and South when the two city rivals opened the Class 5A state football tournament October 28th at Martin Memorial. Still 3 weeks out, and following an open week October 21st, South will be out after its fifth in a row in a city series after hosting that 49-0 victory over the Maroon and Gold back in September at Martin Memorial. The draw was held Sunday night by the IHSAA. The Panthers return home Friday night, though, for its biggest game of the year, hosting 6A fifth-ranked Columbus North. A win there against the unbeaten Bulldogs will secure at least a share of its Conference Indiana title, shared 2 years ago, and of course won outright in 2015. Columbus North rolling at 7-0. South is now 6-1, having won its last six, and digging deep to preserve that 23-21 road win at Terre Haute North last Friday night. Christian Paycheck extended his 100-yard-plus games out 2-6 with his 156 yards. Luke Jager caught a couple of touchdown passes from Gavin Yeske. You know, if South now beats the Cougars on the 28th, they'll most likely see the Patriots again for the sectional title at Huff Memorial. And also, that is the same scenario that we had a year ago when South won its second straight sectional championship. The Cougars are still searching after Week 7. They will play at Southport on Friday night. How about Jerry Bland's Edgewood Mustangs? They got them that elusive first win, beating Brown County 23-13 in the annual Hoof and Talon game. Andrew Grave had a couple of touchdown passes. Ian Coldren, for the second consecutive week that he's been back, 121 yards and a touchdown in that battle with the Eagles. The Mustangs with another opportunity hosting one-time winner Cascade this Friday night. Edgewood, by the way, will host Boonville in its 4A sectional opener. That'll be on Friday, October 21st. So the Mustangs will be extending its home schedule and not having to travel in week number 10. That is good news there. Well, freshman Josh Miller's 11th place finish at last week's county cross-country meet gave Larry Williams, South Panthers, the tie-break win there. But Edgewood sophomore Austin Haskett, what a fall the young man has had. He became the first Mustang to ever win the individual title, cutting tape in 1632. And then Austin ended his week as well as the WIC King in 16 minutes and 20 seconds, nearly breaking the course record and becoming the first Mustang to win the individual WIC crown in 7 years. Justin Helmer, sixth-ranked North girls, cruised to the county meet title last week. Grace Williams getting back in form, finished third behind South's duo of County Queen and number one, Todora Kaluska, and second place, Madison McMullen. Todora winning in 1930 over the Edgewood layout. By the way, Edgewood finished fifth and the girls third in the WIC meet over the weekend. Kaylee Meyer was the team leader with a sixth-place finish, and Kaylee was joined on the all-conference team by Paige Abel, who was 10th, and Celine Hornick, who was 12th. High school soccer postseason front and center. It has arrived as the girls' sectional lifts off tonight out at Edgewood with the host Mustang. Austin Tucker's girls hooking up with rival Owen Valley at 6 o'clock. Edgewood beat the Patriots last month 7-0. Tuesday night at 5, it's North and South. Ian Rickerby's South Panthers are looking to regain the sectional title, which North has right now. South beat North in overtime last month in the regular season matchup. The girls' sectional title will go on the line Thursday at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, Kevin Sparks, 6th-ranked South Booters, are 16-1 on the air. They open up on Wednesday night at home against Owen Valley, the purple and white, seeking a fifth consecutive sectional championship. Carl Zalsman's WIC champs open tonight at South at 6. And they will take on Sean Marler's North Cougars. The winner will then catch B&L on Wednesday night in the other semifinal. The sectional title then for the fellows will go on the line Saturday night at 6 o'clock. High school regional time up next for those Cougars of Ken Heidinger tomorrow night down at B&L. As Ken's crew, winning for the third consecutive year, the sectional championship will meet up with Greensburg, while Columbus North will face Scottsburg. The 12th-ranked Cougars made it 3 straight crowns, beating South 5-0 last Friday night to move to 16-1 on the year. That match was played indoors at IU. The Panthers and Matt Corey finished out 8-8, and as was the case during the regular season, everything in that match went in straight sets. Match times for the Tuesday regional at B&L for the North Cougars will be announced later today. We wish the best, too, to Edgewood's doubles team, the number one doubles team of Tyler Wynn and also Noah Brooks, first Edgewood competitors in the state tournament to move on in 19 years. Well, Terry joins Glass in the zone, and your phone calls tonight at 6. We have a little In the Red Zone catching up at 7 until airtime of the Monday night football game. Vikings look to go 4-0. They're at home tonight against the New York Football Giants, who are 2-1. Kickoff will be at 8:30.
Yep, Joe, and the Denver Broncos, the only other unbeaten team at the top there besides Philadelphia. Philadelphia 3-0, Denver 4-0. That's it. They're the only one. Baseball playoffs are set and ready to go on our Facebook page at WGCL Radio. I've got the whole schedule up there for you. Just click on it, and you can see we've got tomorrow night, you've got Baltimore and Toronto. That's play-in game number one for the American League. And then Wednesday, you've got the National League game, big pitching duel there, Syndergaard and Bumgarner. How about that from Citi Field, Giants and Mets. And then everybody gets going proper on Thursday, and we'll be off and running there. Ryder Cuppers, they're big winners. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later. And Terry and I will have plenty of time to eviscerate the Colts later. And praise the Hoosiers. What a great weekend for Coach Kevin Wilson's crew.
Oh, no, great
win. I didn't mind not having any sleep on Saturday. It doesn't bother me.
Nor did I. No.
Great stuff, buddy. We'll get caught up and do it again next hour.
Sounds like a plan. We'll see you then.
All right, Joe Smith time, 8:44. Wow, we're early, Margaret. That's a weird thing on this program.
It is very odd. What's happened, Glass?
It's Monday. Just hang on.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, the forecast is great, so we don't have to worry about that all week. Sunshine. Look out there. Look out there. It's perfect.
It's fabulous.
It's delightful. Joe Smith, good morning. How are you? Part
good morning,
two.
Guys. How we doing?
Yeah, wonderful.
It gets a little lighter. Sunny day.
It is. My forecast says mostly cloudy, but
Sun's starting to peek out on the east side here.
Comes through the fog. I guess it's sunny. We'll take it. We're not going to argue at all.
No.
And sun's shining brightly on that massive, massive red and white victory flag down there in the corner of 17th and Indiana, Joe, as Kevin Wilson's football program. Wake who? What? 5 turnovers? What? Well, we look for a response on Saturday. And we got one in a big-time way, and you were there to see all of it. Let us know what you saw.
Well, so plenty of resolve, response, and the good old will to win. It all came forth Saturday night for Kevin Wilson's football Hoosiers, taking down the defending Big Ten champion Michigan State Spartans in that overtime dandy and bringing home the old brass platoon, ending that 7-game losing streak to Sparty and handing Mark D'Antonio his first loss in 8 games against Indiana football teams. Pretty much dormant was the offense, shut out till the final minute of the third quarter when the old throwback, wide receiver to quarterback, clicked for 6. Mitchell Page to Richard Lego, ending the drought on a 7-play, 75-yard drive to be followed 7 minutes later by the season's longest drive of the year, tying things up at 14 on Ricky Jones's touchdown catch, ending an 8-play, 90-yard drive that knotted the ball game. And then the more conventional Page touchdown catch from Lego to give the Hoosiers the lead. Michigan State would force overtime, but Griffin Oaks' 20-yarder began the celebration. I can't recall, though, two more memorable back-to-back sacks delivered on Michigan State quarterback Tyler O'Connor in overtime by Pat Doherty and Nate Hoff. There was the will right there to get it done and finish it out. The Hoosier D, big time. Part of this 3-1 getaway, and of course the 1-0 start to the Big Ten. Traveling now to Ohio Stadium, the Scarlet and Gray, the second-ranked Buckeyes of Urban Meyer. Saturday at 3:30 on ESPN, the Hoosiers, if you'll recall, had a 6-point second-half lead at home a year ago. They lost that game 34-27, giving up three huge long touchdown runs of 55, 65, and 75 yards to Ezekiel Elliott, but he's now playing on Sundays. And this Tom Allen defense, a little bit more sturdier, so we'll see how things match up as the practice week gets rolling and on through to game time on Saturday. Ohio State's defense, boy, they have still yet to yield a rushing touchdown in its 4-0 start. But we play the game. Big boy football against one of the nation's best in Ohio State on Saturday. But that was one to savor last Saturday / early Sunday morning out at the Rock Memorial Stadium. Well, the IU women's volleyball team, its second straight match against the top three team, ended the same way the first one did, with the Hoosiers getting swept. Minnesota did the dealing out Friday night. Wisconsin followed on Saturday night. And things don't get any easier for Sherry Dunbar-Cruzan's Hoosiers, who now travel out to Lincoln, Nebraska, to face the top-ranked Nebraska Cornhuskers on Friday. Out on the cross-country course in the Midwest, out in Lawrence, Kansas, at the Rimrock Farm Classic, Ron Helmer's crew, they placed five runners in the top 10 to win the men's race. The women had four in the top 9 to win their race. The Hoosier men are ranked 14th. Nationally, they finished with 23 points. Jason Chris led a 3-4-5 finish there, and the women scored 35 to beat Rice in Kansas as Catherine Receiver finished second in 2029 to take care of things there. Tough weekend for Amanda Janney's field hockey Hoosiers. They lost two overtime games, one to Iowa on Friday, and then yesterday they dropped a 4-3 OT contest to Miami of Ohio. They're back home to face sixth-ranked Northwestern on Friday. Nebraska beat Indiana, and Amy Burberry's crew 1-0, but a big one coming up Thursday night. We'll have Amy on as part of Sports Talk tomorrow night. Penn State, the defending national champ, will be in town to take on the Hoosier women out on the Yagley pitch Thursday. And mentioning big games, how about Todd Yagley's crew? They were out of action over the weekend, but that being said, getting ready for top-ranked Notre Dame up in South Bend tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Elsewhere on the sports beat, Indiana U related, Clint Wallman's crew playing down in the College of Charleston Classic, and IU junior Alex Kong shot a 1-under par 71 on Sunday, tying her for T21 on the leaderboard. Four birdies in her opening round. Indiana's tied T18 in the field, and they'll continue play again on today through Tuesday, that tournament running there. We have lots going on, obviously, as Glass was mentioning. Joined by Terry Stoltz tonight in the zone, and your phone calls at 6, followed by In the Red Zone at 7 o'clock, leading up to our Monday night ball game, featuring the Giants and the unbeaten Vikings from Minnesota. Kickoff there will be 8:30 later tonight on the airwaves.
And Joe, the Hoosier win was great. There was absolutely no way around it. And unlike the Colts, it's kind of been a little mirror image here of what's been happening. You turn it over a bunch, you're not going to make a bunch of dumb penalties, you don't win. How many second half penalties did Indiana have on Saturday?
In the second half?
No. Yeah, zero. And it's amazing when you don't do that, when you don't let teams extend drives because you're making penalties, maybe like right. Michigan State did, Indiana has plenty of talent to be in these football games. And it was great to see that response. It was great to see the defense really take the lead. But remember, the Hoosiers – had to score. How many drives in a row was it in the second half to finally take the
lead?
Well,
you know, you brought up a good point. First of all, you don't, you're not penalized. So what did Indiana do starting then? I mentioned those three drives because they were all long drives, 7 and 75, 8 and 90, and then the one that put Indiana ahead was 5 plays, 70 yards. So there's a ton of yardage. As a matter of fact, Indiana averaged almost 8 yards a play and had over 300 yards of its total offense class in the second half.
Yeah, 317.
Second half.
Great number.
Yeah.
And so, the Hoosiers had a and they scored on consecutive drives, too, Joe. That kept the momentum in the building, and that was the other huge part. The drives were long enough where the defense could catch their breath and continue to do their work. How many? I don't have any problem with two plays, 78 yards. Don't get me wrong on that. But there are situational plays where if you let those guys get caught up, and I tell you what, when I was down there, Tom Allen in that first quarter was not a happy man. The message got through loud and clear, and great drama, great theater, and think of it this way. What was the dumbest penalty Michigan State had in the entire game? Leaping on the last play. Guy missed a field goal.
Yeah.
Griffin Oaks pulled it wide. The Michigan State would have had the ball back. But, again, that's Michigan State's problem. The Hoosiers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been through enough of these, Joe. You've been through more than I have. It was just great to see, even when it went wrong, it went right, because I know – Charlie Brown and having that football pulled out by Lucy enough times. We've seen it enough times. It
was, got that right.
We didn't care if it was 12:30 or whenever the postgame show ended, your postgame show ended. That was the least of the worries on Saturday night. So exciting times. Terry and I will break it down. We saw great performances. How about Tigray Scales leading that defense?
Oh, you know, that's two back-to-back games in double figures now. And
he's at 28 tackles or something ridiculous the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's got 26. He had he led us in tackles again. Well, obviously, as you know, he led us in tackles. He had 14. He had 13 against Wake Forest, but this one was a lot sweeter in a victory. And 8 of those were solo. So, I mean, he's just got he and Marcus Oliver. I thought Chase Dutra played well. You know, he's rounding back into shape now. He had 7 tackles, and 5 of those were solo on Saturday night. So some good things. As I'm saying, there are a lot better pieces together.
Yes, there's no doubt about that.
Defensive unit facing Ohio State this year, and let's face it, even when we were there, the last time we were there, we had the lead in the second half. In the third quarter,
That's a good football team. Indiana is trying to move into that direction.
Yeah, move into that onto that level. Sure.
The simple formula is: Ohio State has enough things to beat you. You cannot beat yourself. That's got to be the focus in practice this week. And I think the proof is in the pudding. That second half performance, where they didn't turn the ball over, they didn't commit penalties. Well, look what happens. And, again, the consistency, Joe, the repetition of doing that, that's when you make the step into the next level. How about the Ryder Cup briefly? Congratulations, Davis Love III. What a crew.
Wow.
He had,
well,
what,
I tell
what,
you,
what
you
theater.
Know, Phil Mickelson was a little short to Henrik Stenson in the British Open shooting that unbelievable 64. Well, 10 birdies and what a round he had, and he only was able to have the match with Sergio Garcia. But that said, that was outstanding the way the lineup was set out by Davis Love III, and especially the lower half when the Europeans went top heavy and got surprised. Ricky Fowler beating Justin Rose, of course, you know, Rory McIlroy. They were pinning the hopes on him beating Patrick Reed.
Another great
match. That
didn't
happen, so the stage was set early for a solid American Sunday, and there it was. First time.
Those golfers still got to perform.
In 8 years.
You can put them anywhere in the lineup. They still got to perform, and they did, and the theater was outstanding. The weather in Minnesota was great. The fans were nice, loud, and rowdy.
How about that theater, the first 9 holes between Reed and McIlroy, huh?
How about Mickelson had 10 birdies, Sergio had 9?
I know. That's what I said.
Oh,
I mean,
the 19 combined birdies.
It equates to a 63 that Phil shot over a tough course.
I agree with Justin Rose. I don't think it played very difficultly on Sunday. But the theater, the drama was there. That's what you want. Play better golf. It was a 3-point deficit going into the singles matches. The USA kept the foot on the pedal, and you should win when you have that kind of lead. That's what made Medina. That's why they call it the miracle at Medina, Joe, when the Euros won, when the USA was up 4 points in that. All right, great stuff as always. We got all week to get caught up. We got so much stuff going on this week. Help keep me in line with every sectional performance that's going on and the big game
sectional
coming up.
Sectional soccer tonight, obviously, all week long, really, for both boys and girls. And the big one for Bloomington South against Columbus North. They're going to have to try to at least clinch a share. There's still two conference games on the docket sheet, so this one would clinch at least a share, and then they could win it outright at Perry Meridian the following week.
All right, good job as always, my friend.
All righty.